Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is Friday now, the 31st of January 2025. It is the last day of January, and no, it is not springtime tomorrow. But the blasted month is finally over, even if the hardship has not quite ended yet. It is also Six Nations season. Where does the time go at all? The boys in green going for three in a row. How are tricks with you today? Let us know in the usual fashion, please. The WhatsApp North and South 087 032 32 32, and you can email oliver@rte.ie. Excellent, excellent. Now, our visiting critic today is rugby related, in fact, Bernard Jackman. He is from Carlow and or Kildare, one of those. Former Irish international, of course. And we get our visitor, as always, to review something that they'd never dream of doing or are probably not into. So we sent him to a dumpling-making class. Dumplings as in the Asian fare, you know. And it's a nod then to the Chinese New Year, which is celebrated in China and also across all of Asia, which is why we also call it Lunar New Year. And increasingly for people who go on weekend breaks and holidays and so on, doing food classes is a really big, burgeoning, growing business, because the weekend break demographic are breaking free of just drinking alcohol all weekend when they go to random cities across Europe. And they look for something more memorable and fun to do, experiences, something social without any booze. In various cities, you'll always find these ideas. So Dublin is for dumplings this weekend. That's the message we're putting out there. You could do lots of other things, but we focused on dumplings and we sent Bernard Jackman and we'll find out how we got on, because it is, of course, Six Nations weekend. And I see Ronan O'Gara is writing in the Irish Examiner this morning, where he has a column, despite still being a man in management himself. And he's saying, Ireland have too much game, too much experience to lose to England in Dublin. And that's tomorrow. And so there's a bit of energy building in the city, there's no doubt about it. Actually, loads of people come to the city. I'll come to that in a second, because we'll talk about our other things today. Because it is the 1st of February tomorrow, which means Bridget's Day. So we have a pagan-themed guest who's written a novel based on intensive research on ancient Irish translations of our collective mythology. Things like Antonbo, Coolina, Kim Curran is her name, and she actually discovered subtle changes and quite dramatic changes at times to how her subject was being treated as the monks, you know, got hold of the texts and started kind of jigging things around and manipulating them here and there to suit their own purposes as the centuries went on. So she's written what she believes might be closer to the true fury of the Morrigan. The Morrigan is a kind of fierce or beautiful woman, wooing Cuchulain and things like that. No, she was fierce and absolutely angry. Bridget is in there as well, the pagan one, not the saint. I think they're two separate people. We get confused every year. There's probably two Bridgets, unless the pagan Bridget managed to do something incredible, which was to set up a monastery and teach about Christ hundreds of years before it existed. But no, there's two Bridgets. There you go. Also, Maeve is in there, and the likes of Lugh, King Lugh, who gives his name to County Louth. And there's huge battles, Fomorians and the Banshee. Uniquely, it's a book for adults because there is much violence and malevolence and blood. And most importantly for the Irish psyche, fights over land. So the Morrigan is going to be a good conversation we're going to have later on this morning. It is Bridget's weekend and the bank holiday weekend party. The Irish Sun tells us 350,000 tourists and rugby fans will visit Dublin across this weekend. So it's going to be very, very busy. Dublin Airport will have 350,000 people going through it. First long weekend of 2025 begins with the Dublin Racing Festival tomorrow and Sunday at Leopardstown. And also Dublin City are celebrating. Dublin City Celebrating Women is that event, which has it's the fourth time in a row they've had that. 80 events planned across the capital city, and yeah, it's just very, very busy. You got sold out Lansdowne Road for Ireland, England, and loads of tours as well. In fact, I think all the way through January now, there is no down season for Dublin anyway. When it comes to the weekend, people coming out with breaks and going into Temple Bar and pubs with carpet like Neary's and the Long Hall and all the Grogan's and all of that, where the guidebooks have sent them in that direction. But for those of us at home, though, will the St. Bridget's Day events continue? The making of the crosses with the bog rushes, and there's also the Brat Breeda, which is the bit of cloth which is supposed to be representing Bridget's cloak, spread across Leinster, leave it out for the night and you get your pagan kind of cures and so on. But I just love the fact that it's Brat Breeda. It's like Bridget is so brat, you know, from last summer? No? Look it up. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Brat Breed. And there's also the Bridog, which is the doll. And I'm reading here about this folklore in the Irish Farmer's Journal, in fact, straw. It's made out of barley straw, basically. The Bridog is a little doll. It looks absolutely frightening and terrifying. It's like something from a satanic ritual murder mystery movie starring, I don't know, Kiefer Sutherland's Frown. And maybe Woody Harrelson is in the background as well. It's quite True Detective, actually. And I'm also reading about there was another tradition of the Biddy Boys who visited house to house on Bridget's Eve. The Biddy, a group of young fellas who visit houses in their locality, carrying as the focus of the procession a doll or effigy of the saint. So boys going around carrying dolls. The Biddy Boys. Okay. Singing, visiting sick and elderly people in their homes. Sounds kind of like they were inveigling their way into a bit of inheritance now, doesn't it? Rifling through the dresser. And also, I'm sure it gave rise to such insults as, he's a right Biddy Boy, that fella. It really does sound like a slur against gentlemen who are light in the loafers, shall we say, about ourselves. But also, this time of the year is reminiscent of the Sheelany gig and the beautiful pagan stuff. And also the ones who believe in the more saintly figure of Bridget and the cuteness of newness and all that goes with it. There's tons of sport this weekend. There's also loads of GAA or GA, if that's your preference. Gaelic games, you know what it is. Tomorrow, Armagh versus Tyrone in the aptly referred to Boxit Athletic Grounds. Armagh and Tyrone, that is the true division in Ulster. If only the unionists knew the bitterness between those two places. And Donegal Dublin is also the, and that's actually the one that TG Cahir have opted to put on the telly over Cork Limerick. Cue much weeping and gnashing of teeth. But because it's the new rules, you see, in Gaelic football and the two pointers, which I think has absolutely changed. And I'm having to have fellas back as well in your own half. But also in Division 1, Derry versus Kerry. That's in Celtic Power. And then you've got Mayo Galway over in McHale as well. And they've had, they could do with a bit of entertainment and over there. Well, they could do with a bit of light heat and running water, couldn't they, as well? It is day 7 of the hardship. I was actually talking to someone only yesterday about, they said they had endured 5 days of it only. And said it was the worst experience they've had since grief. I said, I was like, didn't know what to say. It was just extraordinary. So it's very, very tough. And the anger is particularly about the water going 2 days notice of the storm last week, which was this day last week. And they just don't understand how the water people, including group water schemes and the private companies involved there, not just Ishigaran, didn't have generators hired up and ready to go to keep the water flowing at least. So there is anger there, and there's no doubt we will be hearing a lot more about it because they're still not back. 5th to the 8th of February or something, and it's the 31st of January today. Anyway, you can catch up on all the action in terms of the football, RT Sport Online, and the news app, and RT Radio 1 as well have loads of coverage. We'll come to all that. 51551, by the way, for the text as well. They're in on the text already. Hello, my TYs and Leaving Cert students enjoyed making St. Bridget's crosses yesterday in religion class. Well done to you. Actually, I have a story on schools. Let me dig that one out. And it's from today's Irish Daily Star. And it's a survey by the Teachers Union of Ireland. And they asked 111 secondary schools, the principals and deputy principals, about the shortages of teachers, basically. And there is a huge, 75% of those surveyed said they'd advertised positions in the last 6 months and not one teacher has applied for these positions. 20% of schools are now forced to drop subjects due to a lack of teachers. This is in secondary schools. And maths, apparently the most difficult subject to employ teachers in, followed by Irish, French, construction studies and engineering. English is the 6 months difficult. Surprise, it's basically, this is listing nearly all the subjects. Also biology, home ec, chemistry and art. 64%, that's two-thirds more, have unfilled vacancies due to recruitment and retention difficulties. And it doesn't mention it here, but this is the housing crisis written all over it in terms of getting a job in a place that you can live and so on. Only 3% of schools said they believe enough is being done at government level to tackle the teacher recruitment and retention crisis, and that will build towards the midterm break and the Easter conferences as they get to grips. And they'll be meeting their new minister in charge. That's Helen McEntee, who moves from justice to education. Perfectly normal in Ireland. And in fact, Jim O'Callaghan is now the Justice Minister. Do you remember he was saying that was the one area that Fine Gael had made no progress in, and they were attacking each other over. And they really went for Helen McEntee, Fianna Fáil. And she hit back saying Fianna Fáil manifesto has very little substance in it. Now they love each other, and Helen McAtee will now be facing the teachers rather than the arched eyebrow of Gardaí. That's what's coming along. Actually, we mentioned work from home during the week as well, and the fact that Donald Trump is basically, you know, planning to get rid of it altogether. And while it was increasing in Ireland, and the front page of today's Irish Times, civil service rose back from remote work. The government is seeking to have staff and parts of civil service return more frequently to the office. The Department of Social Protection told staff from February, that's from Monday, or from Tuesday when they come back for the bank holiday, they will be expected to have 2 days a week minimum in the workplace. Staff in senior management grades and above will have to be, all the senior managers basically, in the office 3 days a week at least. But the unions have instructed their members, just ignore that, you won't be doing that. The union last night instructed members in the Department of Social Protection not to follow the new return to directive. The union said staff in the Department of Finance also been instructed to increase the number of days in the office from next week. They've told its members don't follow that directive either. So this is building to a big row. And so these are the people, remember, who are making the rules on terms of the right you have to work from home if you're in the private sector in particular. And they themselves are having a row over work from home. So we'll be watching that. And particularly in departments where they have to come into the city centre, they know the traffic is terrible and buses are unreliable. Not just in Dublin. I remember in the election campaign, the run-up, there was a lot of Vox Pops. Weren't there Vox Populi in Galway and Limerick talking about buses just not showing up on time and making them late for everything they need to do, including work. And of course, if you want to cycle or use the alternatives, you can't bring your bicycle on the train until after 10 a.m. I think between 10 and 4 p.m. you're allowed to put a bike on a dart. We must be the only European city in the world, but certainly the only European city, full stop, that you can't put your bike on the train. And there are signs actually in the dart and the commuter trains, do not bring your bike only after 10 a.m. and you'll still have to phone someone to use the lift. With all of that discussed, Irish Independent, Frank Coughlin is writing in his opinion piece this morning, talking about how the revolution, the pandemic, the only kind of silver lining from that time was the work from home. Just it fast forwarded a trend that was already happening. So people were happy. Even the employers saw the potential for massive savings in rents and leases, in all the heating, lighting and all the payments for huge offices. And happy employees were working harder when they were working from home, is what he says. A lot of it is necessity, of course. But he's expecting a revolt as the companies push to get workers back into the office. Mature workers, he says, used to the Dickensian tyranny of workplace cubicle, might not be unduly inclined by the muscle memory to work home alone. They're not the issue. Gen Z, of course, says they wouldn't really benefit from the office culture. But young families, this is where it comes to the crux. Young families, time poor, skint and sleep deprived, would surely fiercely resist any attempt to permanently hold them back to the remorseless grind. It could well trigger the sort of white collar revolt not seen since punitively taxed PAYE workers took to the streets in 1980. And he advises us to look it up on Google if you don't remember about that. True. Since we have so many English people, by the way, in the country this weekend, the story of the royals in the Daily Telegraph, similar treatment in the Daily Mail. And at the top you have jokes on Harry and Meghan at the Netflix launch. And it's to do with apparently the British royals, Duke and Duchess of Sussex. So I didn't think they still had those titles. Anyway, Harry and Meghan, as the rest of the world knows them, $100 million deal they had with Netflix, were made fun of at the Netflix preview event held in LA, basically. Okay, some fella who's got his own chat show says, oh, it's a really fun experiment. Not since Harry and Meghan has Netflix given more money to someone without a specific plan. To much hilarity. And this is a barb, the Telegraph tells us, after Prince Harry's, they're basically saying his two documentaries were rubbish and did no business at all. And then they quote all the things anyone's ever said mean about them, including the 8,000-word Vanity Fair cover story. Shorthand, it was kind of like a fair hatchet piece. The article alleged podcast staff needed long-term therapy or took extended breaks from work after working with Meghan. And a Spotify executive described the couple as grifters. And it just attacks. There is no balancing comment here whatsoever. For example, it does mention that the Sussexes, as they're called, have said previous employees have gone on the record to dispute claims made in that article. You know, a bit of journalistic balance totally absent here. And the Meghan's Netflix series has been delayed due to the LA wildfires for Tone. And basically that's coming out on the 4th of March. We'll expect them to attack as well. So across the top you have just attack on Harry and Meghan. And then there's a huge photograph of Kate Middleton That is the she's the princess. She's the Princess of Wales. Yes, and she's already been out and getting deserved plaudits for returning to public visits, the work that she has to do as a British royal following treatment for cancer. Fair play to her for getting back out and about. So it's not her first time back out, but you've got attack on Harry and Meghan, and then just below it, Kate follows in Diana's steps in her first away day after treatment, and it was really quite something. The Princess of Wales has been named patron of a children's hospice following the footsteps of Diana. The princess spent an hour outside Cardiff playing with sick children and chatting to their families. Later, she collapsed in giggles and declared herself terrible at making socks during a visit to a family-run textile manufacturer near Swansea. It's her first visit to Wales since October 2023. The princess was in good form, animated and engaged. She threw herself into various activities during her phased return to public duties. And the captions are just lovely. And this is what exercised them over beyond. Poor old Brits. Wonderful Kate. Evil Meghan and evil. They just don't like him either. How are these institutions so exercised about any of this? Because you know, we can look fairly and say the royals are kind of ceremonial, inconsequential symbols of inherited wealth. But they're grand. They're nice people. They go about their business. And the other two in California who've run away are harmless hawkers of guff and fluff and shite. You know, there's nothing to get excited about here at all. You're as well shouting into a ditch. In fact, they actually literally would be happier shouting into a ditch. Okay, there's commentary here saying, never mind Met Aaron tomorrow. Tomorrow is the first day of spring. February 1st has always been the start of spring in the traditional calendar, but no, it's the answer. Bridget's Day. My daughter is a scout leader in Arklow, and the little beavers make beautiful Bridget crosses this week. So it's alive and well in the scout hall in Arklow, says Miriam. Thank you very much for bringing that to a much lesser spotted part of Wicklow. And some people go, is that not in Wexford? And it's like, no, it's a bit of Wicklow that they live constantly being accused of it in Wexford. And even the Wicklow-Wexford constituency hasn't fixed things at all, because nobody knows if they're coming or going here. OK, 9:20, we better get on with business. This is Sigrid. Good tune.